BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, much of what we see in the battle over the coronavirus, COVID-19, is made visible through all the news coverage we see. There's the increase of the number of people testing positive, the number of deaths taking place in the U.S. and around the world. There's the emergency orders being given by various governmental authorities, the latest statistics on how many ventilators and face masks that are on order, the overcrowded hospitals in select locations, and the list goes on. Today, though, we're going to look beneath the surface of all this coverage taking place to reveal some critical matters that can forever change this nation and change the world. Today, we're discussing coronavirus and the deep state. Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Alex Newman. He's an international freelance journalist, author, educator, consultant. His articles appear frequently in The New American, also writes for Freedom Project Media, co-author of the book Crimes of the Educators, and also certainly a lead author on the special edition of The New American that came out some many months ago, Rescuing Our Children. Alex, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I really appreciate it.
Alex, I've not been hearing this from a lot of the national media by any extent, but it's important we point out that a former British Prime Minister and former leader of Britain's left-wing Labour Party is now calling for the creation of a global government to cope with this coronavirus pandemic. He's calling for a coordinated global response. And this is something I believe ought to be ringing alarms in our mind right now.
It really should be. And frankly, it's not surprising if you've been following this for a while. In fact, this Gordon Brown has a long history of running around the world calling for a new world order. He says it's going to be a progressive new world order. And, he's got a long history of this. And we actually just released an episode today of my show, Behind the Deep State. You can find that on YouTube. It's through The New American, where we showed clips of him talking about this need for a new world order. And, these globalists are kind of like a hammer, and when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So when you're a globalist, everything looks like something that needs to be solved with globalism, right? Whether that's a virus or a climate or, a regulatory issue or a crime, any problem, they always propose this solution. But there's actually a much bigger background to this, and Gordon Brown kind of came out and said it in the open, but there is now a frantic effort to use this crisis, to use the hysteria surrounding this crisis, to advance globalism. And that includes on the monetary front. You have the IMF now talking about they're going to boost global liquidity by printing more of these SDRs, these special drawing rights, which are like the proto-global currency. You have the UN and especially the World Health Organization trying to position themselves as global authorities, telling national governments what they ought to be doing. You've got UNESCO now trying to lead the global response on the education front. So it's very, very typical, and we're going to see a whole lot more of it before this is all done.
Yeah, I find it very interesting. Nigel Farage, the leader of the Brexit Party, tweeted out, "Gordon Brown doesn't get it. Globalization is the cause of our problems, not our savior."
Exactly. And, I think to the average American, that's becoming more and more clear. Pat Buchanan, who, of course, is very well known in U.S. politics, he had a good column some weeks ago speculating on whether the coronavirus would be the death of the New World Order. And what he pointed out is, it's a very astute observation, is that to the average American who sees this, their instinctive response is, well, what are we doing with open borders? What are we doing, having, people from China coming in and out as they wish? What are we doing having the southern border wide open so that anybody can just come over whenever they want? This really shows the wisdom, Pat Buchanan said, of what Donald Trump said, America first and Americans first. And that is the job of the U.S. government, and I think that's the instinctive reaction of an average, everyday, normal American. It's not, hey, let's go to globalism. It's, hey, let's protect our country, let's protect our people, and other countries can worry about themselves.
Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. Tell us, what is Event 201?
Yeah, Event 201 is one of many similar exercises that globalists have put together to kind of model and simulate pandemics. And really what they're working on is, what kind of response should we have? And this one in particular, this took place last year at the Johns Hopkins University. It was funded, of course, by Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is one of the most significant globalist foundations promoting not just globalism, but also, you know, mandatory vaccinations and international involvement in population control, obviously big supporters of Planned Parenthood. And so at this event at Johns Hopkins, there were some other organizations involved as well. They talked about, you know, what do we do if there is this pandemic, this outbreak of some sort of disease? And if you watch it, in fact, they've got the clips on YouTube, you can watch it, and if you don't have a lot of time, you can watch the condensed version. What you'll see is the solution, just like with Gordon Brown, just like with all these deep state swamp creatures, the solution is always more and bigger government, more totalitarianism, and more globalism. And so I encourage people to go watch this. You know, they say, oh, now we've got to crack down on the media. Now we've got to crack down on social media. Yeah. We've got to arrest people for spreading what they consider to be disinformation.
Right.
You know, again, you don't respond to a virus with tyranny, but that's exactly what these people propose.
Well, there are many efforts that are at work right now to really transform our country, not just our country, though, but really to transform the world. And one of these is a cashless society. Tell us what's happening on that front.
Yeah, and this one really, we had a very near miss with this. The Democrats tried to sneak into the stimulus bill this thing called a digital dollar. And, you know, we've known, and we've been talking about this with the New American, I've written articles about this for 10 years now, about this globalist push to get rid of cash. The reason why they want to do that is very obvious. On the surface of things, at least, that means there's nothing you would be able to do in the economic sphere that couldn't be tracked, regulated, and taxed by the government. If you don't have cash, the government will know every time you buy or sell something. And, you know, that's a nice setup to some of the prophecies that God's Word contains about, you know, having to take a mark, that you won't be able to buy or sell if you don't take the mark. You know, right now, that's hard to imagine, but a cashless society would make that possible. So the Democrats stuck this digital dollar into the stimulus bill. It was removed before passage, but what it would have done was create a digital dollar. It would have given all these so-called stimulus payments to all Americans in the form of digital dollars with digital wallets held at the Federal Reserve banks, and it would have been a very important step in the process, in the long process that it's going to have to be of eliminating physical cash.
Well, Alex, what this is, though, it really is a forecast of what the plans for the future are. I mean, as we see these emergencies, so-called, you know, come about on different fronts, whether health or military or whatever it may be, world war, the whole aspect here is already then in place. I mean, the plan is already out there. It's just that it failed to pass muster at this point.
That's exactly right. And, you know, they may not be able to get it done this time around. That's true. But they've got the plans in the wings, and we've seen this historically over and over again, right? It was just like with the Patriot Act. They had the Patriot Act written for years before 9/11.
Yes.
And 9/11 comes along, and then, boom, they had an excuse to pass it. So we're going to see the same thing with the digital dollar. You know, there's a global effort to do this. Of course, the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, these are some of the organizations that are financing this push. Unfortunately, our own U.S. government is using U.S. taxpayer money to push this. The Canadian government is doing this for years now. They've been pushing something called a mint chip, where they would abolish cash. Sweden is very far down that road. Communist China has also been very, very proactive in pushing that. And right now, they're using the pretext that, oh my goodness, you might get the virus from a piece of cash, and so we have to eliminate cash. So they exploit people's fears to promote agendas that are really very nefarious and that wouldn't be accepted otherwise.
So I think we also need to understand that had there been a different makeup in the U.S. Senate, had there been a different political persuasion on the part of the president, this very well might be law today.
That's right, and that's what we need to realize. You know, if it had not been for a few key people in Congress and potentially opposition from President Trump, they would have been able to get that through. And this is what we see. You know, every time there's a crisis, Rahm Emanuel, Obama's right-hand man for a long time, very famously said, you never want to let a crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that is you can do things that you didn't think you could do before. And now we're seeing that on every front, right? The lockdowns, the push for a cashless society, the push to expand the authorities of state and local and federal and global government. You know, it's a very dangerous time, and panic, which of course the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, right? God doesn't want us to be running around panicked like chickens with our heads cut off, but this spirit of panic that has overtaken our land really facilitates the introduction of these very dangerous ideas.
Have we seen the introduction of a digital dollar before, legislative-wise, into the U.S. Congress?
As far as I know, this has never been put into a bill. There's an organization that's pushing it. There's a lot of very, very influential people and powerful billionaires who've been pushing it, but I've never seen it introduced into American federal legislation. And that is now, of course, has changed, and my guess is, you know, if they don't get it this time, they will definitely move forward the next time they have an opportunity.
Indeed. So we're closer than ever before as far as their attempts. Not only this whole aspect of moving us toward a cashless society, but there's also, I mean, we've even been hearing the words martial law on the lips of some policymakers of some in different state administrations.
That's right. You've had multiple governors now talking about martial law. You had the governor of California, the largest state in the United States by population, threatening to invoke martial law. You have whole entire countries that are now de facto under martial law. And this is very dangerous. Again, you know, you don't fight a virus with military force. Even if you accept that this is actually, you know, dangerous enough to be worth shutting down our society and imploding our economy, you still don't need to have troops out on the street. But, you know, that is what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, part of what has gone into these plannings. You know, you mentioned Event 201. There's another one that's very, very significant, I think, for people who want to understand the response of the government and the deep state. The Rockefeller Foundation put out a report in 2010 on the future of technology, and they envisioned a scenario, a hypothetical future scenario. They called it lockstep, where there would be some kind of pandemic, some kind of outbreak, and they talk about, you know, the alleged benefits of this type of authoritarian response. They actually praise communist China in this hypothetical, you know, future exercise. They said China did a great job by locking everything down and hermetically sealing everything. And we need to recognize that if we don't stand up, if we don't say, no, that's not acceptable, that kind of future definitely is going to await us.
But we see opposition just so quickly stepped upon. I mean, as you talked about earlier, the scrubbing of the internet of those who would have a contrary view or those who are blowing the whistle on certain items. I mean, look at the actions China has taken, and likely that's we see it happening through the giants of social media gurus as well that are stifling that speech here across our nation.
That's exactly right, and you know, that's one of the big goals that they have of this is, and we saw this clearly in Event 201. You had multiple experts on this panel talking about the alleged need to censor social media. They said that, you know, social media companies need to be clear that they are publishers and they have a duty to stamp out misinformation. There was one on there from Singapore who even talked about considering criminal penalties against media for spreading, so-called misinformation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fundamentally contrary to American principles, and it's also very dangerous, because what happens if people putting out misinformation are the ones in charge of policing misinformation? Then we're in big trouble.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break. Alex Newman is our guest here today. And, friends, when we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you that which came forth from Mayor Bill de Blasio this past Friday, the mayor of New York City, threatening to not only stop church services that were in progress, church services that were defying his orders, but also with a threat to close them forever, to close them permanently. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
This is with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back-to-Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest today. We're talking about coronavirus and the deep state. And Alex, you mentioned you've been producing some YouTube videos on this. Give us the access way that our viewers and listeners can obtain these, or how they can watch them.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. And so those are available at YouTube and on Facebook. If you want to find them on YouTube, go to the New Americans video channel. It's called The New American Video. YouTube broke their algorithm to make it almost impossible to find us, but with some effort you can find it. Otherwise, you can go straight to thenewamerican.com, and what we do is we post a page, and then in the page we have just a sentence or two describing the video, and you can watch it right there. And you can also find it on our Facebook. If you go to The New American Magazine's Facebook page, you'll find it there. And so we're trying to get it out in as many ways as possible to kind of get around the big technology companies' censorship. But that is available that way. We've got one that we just released today called Fighting Coronavirus with Tyranny and Globalism, where we actually include some of the video clips of the stuff we've just talked about today, Jim. You know, Event 201, the calls to censor social media, Gordon Brown demanding a new world order. And then last week we did one called The Deep State is Weaponizing, or the Weaponization of Coronavirus. And so people can learn about that as well.
Okay, thenewamerican.com, or else what would they search for? A New American video on YouTube?
Yeah, go to YouTube and search for The New American Video, and you should find our YouTube channel there.
Well, something that was really, really alarming this past Friday, this is Mayor Bill de Blasio. He is the mayor of New York City. And he threatened to stop church services in progress, but even took it a step further, threatening to shut them down permanently. I'd like to quote from him. He said, "We've had extraordinary support from the leaders of major Christian denominations. We've had extraordinary across the board rabbinical support from all different elements of the Jewish community, and the same is true of other faiths as well. A small number of religious communities, specific churches, specific synagogues, are unfortunately not paying attention to this guidance, even though it's been so widespread. So I want to say to all those who are preparing the potential of religious services this weekend, if you go to your synagogue, if you go to your church and attempt to hold services after having been told so often not to, our enforcement agents will have no choice but to shut down those services." He goes down to say the New York Police Department, a fire department, buildings department, everyone has been instructed that if they see worship services going on, they will go to the officials of that congregation. They'll inform them that they need to stop their services and disperse. If that does not happen, they will take additional action up to the point of potentially fines and potentially closing the building permanently. Your response?
It really is amazing. I think it shows why Bill de Blasio is so often referred to by his critics as Bolshevik Bill. You know, it's very, very troubling, this attitude. In fact, I'm troubled by even the whole notion that government has the authority to shut down churches and worship services. You know, if the elders of a church want to get together and say, "Hey, these are extraordinary times, the government's recommended we don't get together, you know, let's think about this, let's pray about this," you know, that's one thing. But it's an entirely different thing to have a governor or a mayor or anybody say you cannot meet, the church cannot meet. I think that's very problematic from a biblical point of view, and I think it's very problematic from a constitutional point of view. You know, the right of freedom of religion, the right to peaceably assemble, I mean, these rights are guaranteed. And traditionally, in American Jewry—oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to have you finish that statement here, but I also want to point out that he references churches and synagogues. Nowhere is there a reference to mosques.
Yep, that's right. And my guess is that's probably very deliberate and very strategic. But, you know, I think this panic has really showed us that so much of the leadership, the political leadership in our country, has these totalitarian tendencies. And, you know, they set themselves up as arbiters of what's an essential service and what's not an essential service. Well, you know, if you're a Christian, you know that the church is an essential service.
Yes,
the
yes.
church is not some optional thing that we can just, you know, pick and choose if we feel like doing it. Church is an institution that God created, like family, like civil government. And civil government, I don't think their jurisdiction really extends into the governance of the church. So I'm very troubled by this. You know, if the church wants to shut down, I think that's their option. But to have the government come in and start barking orders, and even worse, threaten to shut them down forever for not obeying one of these orders, I think we've now stepped into the realm of way beyond the realm of what's acceptable, and we really ought to be having a national discussion about this.
Well, it sounds like he's bought into the editorial that appeared in the New York Times, Catherine Stewart, and just, you know, just as Christians were blamed for the burning of Rome, now we have Christians being blamed for the coronavirus and the response to it. I mean, here's an editorial in the New York Times that ran, "The religious right's hostility to science is crippling our coronavirus response."
Yep, I saw it. And I think we're going to see more of this. You know, America historically has been an aberration. We have just been so blessed to live in this country. I think a lot of people don't realize it. Because, you know, our Lord and our Savior personally told us that, hey, they hated me first. They're
yes.
going to hate you.
Yep.
Right? All those who live righteously in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted.
Yep.
And Americans, we kind of just got used to this idea because we live in a Christian country founded by Christians based on biblical principles largely. And so we've just kind of gotten used to this idea that everything is fine. Well, I think we're going to figure out here in the years and decades to come that, you know, we're going to go through many of the things that our brothers and sisters throughout Christian history, throughout church history, and around the world have been experiencing and continue to experience. And I think this is just, you know, the warm-up, right? The warm-up where major newspapers are now blaming Christians for coronavirus. Major newspapers are attacking Christians for allegedly being bigots because we believe what God says about marriage and about family and about, you know, sexuality. I think, you know, dark times are coming. And, you know, to some extent, Jim, I think the church is partially to blame for this. So many churches, not all churches, but so many churches in America have just quietly allowed all this to happen. They didn't want to, you know, offend anybody, so we didn't say anything about this creeping totalitarianism, this, you know, undermining of the foundations of our nation. And we are going to reap the fruit of that in the years to come, and our children are going to reap it too.
We're talking about the coronavirus and the deep state. And Alex, you mentioned vaccinations earlier in our interview. Are we talking the thought of mandatory vaccinations?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even speculation anymore. They're at this point openly telling us we're going to have mandatory vaccinations. They're putting a bullseye on the back of everybody, even who doesn't just support the concept of mandatory vaccinations. In fact, today in Politico, somebody sent me an article. They were smearing the I think it's a deputy governor or lieutenant governor. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And I mean, it's not even that he's anti-vaccine. He just thinks that people ought to have a choice.
Yeah.
And he's being raked over the coals by the media, by his political opponents. They've laid the groundwork now for this for quite a while. They've convinced a significant segment of the American people that this is acceptable. And, you know, frankly, it's totalitarian to the core, but that's the direction that they're moving in.
As we talk about another issue here, we know that so many governors have gone to shut down what they deem to be non-essential businesses. So as we talk about the coronavirus and the deep state, comment on what's going on with our economy right now, the stock market, unemployment, those related issues.
Yeah, I just wrote an article. It's going to be appearing in a special report in the New American Magazine very soon. We accelerated the production of this, so the whole issue will be about the coronavirus, and I wrote the one on the economic consequences of this. You know, to start off with, and I think a lot of people now have personal experience with this, the economic consequences are going to be absolutely devastating. Millions of people are going to be losing their jobs. Many churches are going to be bankrupted. Many small businesses are going to be bankrupted and will never open again. What we're going to see here is a consolidation of the means of production into the hands of the deep state, if you will, very much along the lines of what we saw during the Great Depression, right? The prices of everything absolutely collapsed as a result of monetary manipulation. And you know, the deep state, the bankers, the banks that actually own the Federal Reserve, and a lot of people don't even realize the Federal Reserve is owned by private bankers. That is a fact, and you can call the Federal Reserve, call any regional Federal Reserve branch, and they'll be happy to tell you that that's the truth. They're going to come in, and they're going to buy up all these assets for pennies on the dollar. Farms, homes, mortgages, businesses. You actually have the Federal Reserve right now buying up real assets with money that they're creating out of nothing. They've set up these, they call them special purpose vehicles, and they use all this really complex terminology to obscure what they're doing. But to put it in plain English, they've set up front companies. They're funding these front companies with money that they've printed out of nothing, and they're using this money that they've printed out of nothing to buy up real assets, including stocks, including bonds, corporate bonds, and local, you know, municipal bonds, and obviously U.S. Treasury bonds they buy all the time anyway. So you now have a system in place that, you know, what's happening here is the nationalization of the economy. I mean, this is what communists have done. They're just not doing it by sticking a gun in our face. They're just doing it by creating money out of nothing and buying things up. Very, very troubling. Frankly, I think the coronavirus was kind of just the trigger. The underlying economic problems were there, and I think a lot of people, especially people who support Trump, and I've been generally very supportive of the president, don't want to acknowledge. But, you know, the economy was not on a sound foundation before this, and we never really fixed the problems after the last economic crisis. This stimulus bill, as far as I'm concerned, was a tremendous mistake. I like the way Congressman Thomas Massie put it. He said this is probably the biggest looting of the middle class ever in human history, and people are going to realize very quickly that this is a massive transfer of wealth. The $1,200 per individual was kind of like the cheese in the mousetrap, and if you actually look at the numbers that they're talking about $6 trillion worth of stimulus. That works out to about $75,000 per family of four in America, and we get a couple thousand dollars back in return. This is a giant heist. The money's going to be going to the banks, to the politically connected corporations and the lobbyists. This is going to be an absolute atrocity perpetrated against the American people. And it's happening before our eyes, and incredibly a big part of the population is cheering for it.
Yeah, and what we're seeing really is really a further collapsing. I mean, how can we sustain this debt as a nation?
It's not possible. It's simply not possible. And I hate to be so blunt, but you know, the economic system as it stands is completely unsustainable. And, you know, that's not because of anything President Trump has done. I don't think President Trump deserves the blame from this, although we know for sure the deep state will blame him. But this is a systemic issue. You know, we have a monetary system where a coalition of private banks has formed into a cartel and has obtained permission from Congress to do the equivalent of counterfeiting money, right? Printing money out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And basically stealing, siphoning away the value of our savings, of all the U.S. dollars already in existence. And they do this by creating currency out of nothing and then charging interest on that, but they never created the interest. So even if we paid back every penny that we owed them and there was no money left in the economy because it was all paid back, we would still owe them enormous amounts of money because they never created the interest. So the economic system is fundamentally flawed in the way it's designed, the monetary system. And what we're seeing now, I think, is the next step in the globalist plan. And that is the sidelining of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency to make way for these special drawing rights that are printed by the IMF. And if you go to the IMF website right now, the head of the IMF, it's a Bulgarian, is openly, I mean, in press release after press release, talking about how they're going to be deploying all these special drawing rights. They're going to be injecting global liquidity into the markets. I mean, they're talking about doing the same thing that the Federal Reserve does, but on a global scale, and doing it with special drawing rights instead of U.S. dollars. So this is a recipe for disaster, but it's also, I think, something that needs to happen for the prophecies in God's word to be fulfilled. Yeah. So we really do live in incredible times, Jim.
We really do, and that's how I see, you know, we see this in the crisis we're going through, but this is but a piece of the puzzle as God sees the entire picture here, and certainly these things must come to pass. Alex Newman is with us today. A quick break, and let's see, we're going to come back and just discuss what our takeaway should be from this. What are our lessons learned through this time that we're going through right now, and then we'll be opening some phone lines as well. Alex Newman, the website, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, and you can check there, find the links to YouTube and to the articles written on this as well. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk on VCY America.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the Primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
We're discussing the coronavirus and the deep state today. Alex Newman is with us, and he is an international freelance journalist. He's an author, an educator, consultant. He's been with us numerous times here on Crosstalk on a variety of issues, usually surrounding that which is going on for globalism in some regard, or UN conferences, or matters, the attacks that are going against the freedoms that we hold and cherish, certainly our sovereignty as a nation as well. You can check out articles on this and other related topics at thenewamerican.com. As we mentioned, some of the videos as well at go to YouTube, and you can just put in the search engine The New American Media and find the articles or the YouTube clips there as well. Alex, as we take a look of all that's been going on here over recent weeks, and we've just really scratched the surface, what should be our takeaway? What should be lessons learned from this?
Well, you know, I think the big takeaway here is that, of course, the deep state is going to use this, you know, whether real or imagined, just like every crisis, to advance its agenda. And you know, I think if we do an honest reading of the Bible, it's very clear what's going on here. The enemy hates God, hates mankind, hates the things that God has created for our good, and that includes family, and that includes church, that includes marriage, that includes you know, right and wrong and morality. And so we should expect to see what we're seeing. And of course, it's exactly what we see. We see the war on family, the war on nations, the war on church, the war on liberty, all of these ramping up to new levels. And, you know, I think from a biblical standpoint, we need to look at this and say, hey, you know, God allows these types of things to happen very often in the Bible, and that he does it often against his own people, right? Against his own people, Israel, when they start worshiping false gods and sacrificing their children to idols. Yes. And, you know, engaging in widespread wickedness, bad things happen to them, whether that be, you know, enemy armies coming to take them into captivity or plagues and pestilence. And God also talks about what our response to those things should be. I mean, we need to be praying. We need to be turning from our wicked ways as a nation. We need to, you know, I think Donald Trump got it right early on when he called for a national day of prayer.
Yes.
That's what our presidents have historically done. They've called for a day of prayer and fasting and humiliation. That's the response we need. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And from a political perspective, we need to do our best as American citizens. You know, we were very blessed to live in a self-governing republic, or at least it's supposed to be a self-governing republic. And so we have a duty as citizens. God told us what a government should look like. God told us what the purpose of government is. He told us why he established civil government. And so we need to take those lessons to heart, and we need to apply them to government, whether we're running for office, whether we are legislators or county commissioners or mayors. You know, we need to take that to heart, or just regular voters. We need to take that to heart and say, hey, the purpose of government is not to shut down church. It's not to demonize freedom or anything like that. The purpose of government is to protect the good and to punish evil. And we need to keep all this in mind during these very unusual and frankly very exciting times, very frightening for a lot of people, and I can understand that. But, you know, I think the basic message is open up the Word of God, start reading it. If you haven't been doing that regularly, now would be a very good time to start.
Do you believe this whole incident as well, this issue that this crisis has faced here across the nation around the world, has this been an eye-opener about our reliance on communist China?
I think it has been. And, you know, I think if there's going to be any silver lining to this, and I've been talking about this for a few weeks now, we're going to see in several areas, right? Donald Trump has taken this opportunity to say, hey, we should not be dependent on a mass murdering dictatorship that persecutes Christians and forces women to have abortions. We should not be dependent on them for our medicine or for components to keep our Air Force jets in the sky. And we're going to stop that. So I think that is going to be a very positive outcome if Trump is able to follow through. I know the deep state's unhappy about that. They're criticizing him for that, but I think it's very important. You know, another very positive potential outcome that I see here is, you know, America's idols have fallen, right? Government's not going to save you, and you're not going to be able to watch, you know, sporting events while the world crumbles around you. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to focus on the things that matter, like God and your family and the church. So I'm excited about that. I'm hoping that a lot of people will turn back to God. I've got a lot of anecdotal evidence suggesting that that's happening. And finally, the government school system. You know, I think a lot of parents have allowed the government school system to oversee the education of their children in a way that really is not biblical. I don't think it's responsible. You know, it's been a passion of mine. I think God has a lot to say on education. And starting at the very beginning, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you can't talk about the Lord in school today. Therefore, as Christians, we should be getting our children out. I'm hoping that this crisis will result in millions of Christian parents fleeing the public school system in the months ahead and becoming permanent homeschoolers, or, you know, pulling their children out and putting them in good Christian schools, private schools of some sort. And so those are kind of the silver linings I see. I know we focused a lot on the negatives, and there are a lot of negatives here, but I think there may be some positive outcomes here, and I really hope that God will use this to build his church, to advance his purposes, and to really, you know, kind of shake Christian families. And I know it's a kind of a graphic word to use, but just shake them awake and say, hey guys, you know, your children, they're being brainwashed. They're being taught to be transgenders, and they're being taught to approve of homosexuality, and they're being dumbed down. You know, that's not acceptable. And so it's time for us to get out.
Alex Newman, our guest here today, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Your comments as well, Alex, here as we await calls here as to the World Health Organization, the WHO. Are they complicit in this? I mean, we've seen them commend China for their response, and I, you know, I really don't believe truth's been told as to what's going on in China here.
No, I think you're exactly right. And you know, the World Health Organization, like much of the UN, I think needs to be viewed as an extension of the communist Chinese dictatorship. And I know that's a serious allegation, and I think it's supported by serious evidence. The current head of the WHO, this Ethiopian communist, used to be a member of the Politburo, right, of a communist political party that has been involved in atrocities over the years. His election to this post at the World Health Organization was strongly supported by communist China. And before he took over, the person running the World Health Organization was an actual member of the Communist Party of China, Margaret Chan. So obviously she filled up the ranks of this bureaucracy with communists, with sympathizers. And, you know, that's the lens that we need to view it through. And I think it's way past time for us to shut down the World Health Organization. And the idea that we're going to get anything resembling the truth out of an organization dominated by communists is, I think, just frankly ludicrous.
Let's go to our phone lines. They're packed out right now. Randy in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Thank you for what you guys do. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because I think our problems go back when we start leaving God out of, you know, taking prayer out of the school, Bible out of the school, then the final stake in the coffin for America was killing babies, and we still keep doing it. And I think in 73, what should have happened is if the church had risen up and we'd all went to Washington, D.C. and surrounded that city, it'd been so crowded nobody could move because there'd be so many people there. And as I said, hey, tell these guys, these 9 men that say it's okay to murder babies in the womb. We didn't do that, and I think we're going to go down because we haven't even stopped it yet.
And thanks for the comments, Randy. Alex, basically, you're saying many pivotal points in our history where the church has been silent when it needed to speak out.
Yeah, and I think this is another example of that. You know, with some exceptions, there are some pastors who are really, you know, providing a lot of wisdom from God's word right now, but I think the churches are being way too quiet amid these times. They should be providing comfort to people. They should be giving people you know, God's word. Mm-hmm. And this is a time for them to be speaking. I mean, it's always a time for them to be speaking, but for crying out loud now is really, really a time for their voices to be heard. And I think they need to step up and do that. And, you know, congratulations. Thank you to the ones who have been doing that and to the ones who haven't. You know, pray about it and maybe, you know, consider preaching something on this and, you know, helping your congregation. God made you a shepherd of your congregation for a reason. And so, you know, you need to take that responsibility very seriously. And I know a lot of pastors do, but I think now is really a time to be speaking. So thank you for the call.
Edgar is our next caller from Piney, Tennessee. You're on the air, Edgar.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering, when these digital dollars come along, will we still be able to write checks?
That's a good question. I think the process is actually going to be slow. I mean, I don't think we're just going to wake up one morning and we're going to say, you need to hand in all your cash right now. It's going to be a gradual process. You know, checks in parts of the world have already been phased out. You know, regular listeners to this program who've heard me before know that I spent most of the last decade in Scandinavia. They consider checks to be, you know, relics from a barbarous age over there. They laugh at me when I say that we still write checks. So I think gradually checks will be eliminated. They're pushing, you know, contactless payments, mobile payments, using your cell phone, things like that. But I think it's going to be a gradual process. I'd be surprised if we just woke up one morning and they said, no more physical cash, no more checks. You can only use this new digital dollar. I think it'll be phased in over time.
Yep, likely benchmarks along the way. Thank you, Edgar. Mark is next in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yeah, in my opinion, a few weeks ago, I thought it was interesting on ABC, the panel with George Stephanopoulos and Rahm Emanuel used the coronavirus as a springboard against Ben Carson in hopes of him having a Freudian slip in order to escalate the perception of COVID-19 so that they could exploit the perception of it to validate the not letting a good crisis go to waste. That's my comment.
Thank you. Any response, Alex?
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I didn't see that particular television show, but that is their modus operandi, right? If it's a real crisis, they exploit it. They seize upon it to advance their agenda. If they feel like they have to manufacture a crisis, they'll do that. If they feel like it would be helpful to blow a crisis all out of proportion to advance these agendas, they'll do it. And that's what we see. And, you know, for the most part, I've been pleased with most of the members of Trump's administration for trying to keep people calm and, you know, for reiterating that we're not going to be stampeded like lemmings into any idiotic or unconstitutional so-called solutions. But we really need to be on guard right now.
Thank you, Mark. Kathy is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just would like to say that I think God is working in this. There's more and more churches have got online services, and there are more and more people, quote-unquote, attending church than ever before. And so we should be praying for those people that they hear the gospel and get saved, and we have revival in our country.
Amen. Amen. We need it. Thank you, Kathy. Michelle in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, a couple things before I get to my question, and it's relevant. Recently in the Seventh Circuit in Florida, they put in, they made a list of what they will and won't hear in the court proceedings during the coronavirus. It's a coronavirus piece of legislation. And the seventh item is mandatory vaccine proceedings. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Australia released today that they are going cashless. And something that I'm concerned about that I'm still researching is ID 2020. When it's owned by Gates and talking about putting a nano chip in this vaccine. So my question is, if they go to mandatory vaccines, which it looks like that's where they're going since they're putting it in legislation, there's biblical scripture that says if we unknowingly take something that changes us, which these vaccines do change our
DNA.
Right
to your question. I'm coming up against a break. Right to your question.
Is this part of that? Will we be accepting this into our body, and should we reject it?
Okay, thank you for the call. We'll be back after the break. This is Crosstalk. Alex Newman is with us today. Again, check out the articles, the information, thenewamerican.com. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. For nearly 2 years, we've been warning about the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service. This was a commission put into place by Barack Obama and the late John McCain as Barack Obama was going out the door of the Oval Office. And this commission has spent over 2 years studying, well, drafting America's daughters. Yes, you heard me right. Requiring that women sign up for the Selective Service and could be drafted if there's a national draft if they're between the age of 18 and 26. But it's more than that. Hiding under the idea of national service and military and patriotism and civic duty is nothing more than a massive federally funded attempt of brainwashing, mandatory service, social justice warriors, community organizers, all being trained, and they're calling for national testing, which will lead to national curriculum, and you'll have to do this to graduate. Oh, guess what? It includes homeschoolers. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us today, international freelance journalist, and talking about the coronavirus and the deep state. Alex, as we're going into that break, the caller was saying, hey, they're mandatory vaccinations. Should we accept them? And I know we can't tell people whether or not they should take a vaccination, but your further comment on this issue.
Yeah, thank you for the call. And I think this is something that everybody needs to be thinking about and praying about. I think this is something that pastors need to be thinking about and praying about. I can give you my personal opinion. I will not be taking any forced vaccine, especially knowing what I know about vaccines. I've spent a lot of time studying them. Many of them are actually created using murder victims, right, aborted children. Many of them contain toxic adjuvants. The manufacturers are all immune from liability. They lobbied Congress back in the 80s to make sure that nobody could sue them for anything. I mean, you could die, your child could die, your child could end up permanently disabled, and there's not a thing you could do about it to hold these companies accountable. Your best bet would be to sue the federal government, and they might pay you a little bit from taxpayer money. And she also mentioned ID 2020.
Oh, yes.
An initiative funded by Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation, both of whom are key players in this space. And they very much intend to create these digital biometric IDs that will keep track of your vaccination history. They paid MIT. They gave MIT money to research this new technology. And actually, MIT put out a press release about it in December, right around the time that coronavirus hysteria started heating up, about how they would implant something under your skin that would contain your vaccination records and that this could be scanned using a smartphone. I mean, it sounds like science fiction, but this is reality. So, my personal decision will be not to take, any kind of forcible vaccine, but I'm not a medical doctor. I can't tell anybody else what to do, but I do think it's something you should start thinking about. You should start praying about it. You don't want to have to pray about it and make the decision when they show up at your door or when they tell you you have to get it if you want such and such government benefit. You want to have spent time with the Lord thinking about this and praying about it because that time is very likely coming, especially if the American people don't stand up and say no. So.
Let's go to Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
I think I'm going to change the name from COVID-19 to Covert-19, like covert operations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on below the surface not being told. And I agree, God has probably given us a chance to come back to him as Christians. But as Christians, we're not doormats. I mean, it's time to start calling your local and state and federal representatives and let them know we're not going to take this lying down, this washing away of our privileges and our rights.
Yeah, thank you for the call. And that's one of the issues we're going to be discussing on our television program this evening, too, looking examining our own governor here in the state of Wisconsin for our Wisconsin viewers in that, on a Friday, you said, no, we're not going to be talking about stay-at-home type things. And just 2.5 days later, all of a sudden, he's issuing the edict for this to take place. And so people are asking, what changed? What changed that caused you to do this? He claims to certainly have looked at the science of this. Well, what specifically? And there's a lot of unanswered questions, but control is right on the tips of their lips, Alex.
It is, yeah. And, thank you for the call. And I think this really opens up a broader discussion. And I know we don't have time for it today, but I think it's something that everybody needs to be thinking about. All Christians should have been thinking about this a long time ago. And that is the proper role of government and our duty to government. And, you know, Scripture is very clear. We must obey the government. We must. It's God told us we need to do it. He said government is there for our benefit. He's the one who established civil government. But, you know, that is not a duty for unlimited obedience. You know, it's the same with your parents. Of course, children must obey your parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if your parents say, go clean your room, you better go clean your room. But if your parents say, you know, go kill somebody or go rob something, you know, obviously then our allegiance to God and what God has told us needs to come first. So I think it's a very important discussion for churches all over America to be having right now. What is our duty to obey government? And, you know, Romans 13 is important, but we also need to put that into the broader context. You know, when the apostles were told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, they said, hey, you know, should we obey men or should we obey God? Mm-hmm. And that's a conversation we all need to be having at this time.
Mark is calling from Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air, Mark.
Yes, I was just looking online. Robert Redfield apparently is the current director for disease control. Do you know anything about him? Is he okay, or is there an issue there?
I'm not very familiar on his background, so I won't say anything.
Okay. And one other thing, the injectability of some kind of a vaccine could also contain quite easily a chipping system. Is that something that's a definite possibility?
Well, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. And if you read this press release from MIT that was put out in December, they've since taken it down from the Internet, but it's archived on the Wayback Machine, so you can see the details of it. They actually talk about this implantable system that would be under the skin that would be able to be read by a smartphone that would keep your whole vaccination history on there. So it's entirely possible that they would be injecting or tattooing things onto people that would include personal information that would allow them to be scanned. You know, whether this is the mark of the beast or not, you know, and I think one of the previous callers alluded to that. I'm not qualified to say, but you know, I think we all need to be thinking in these terms. And I'm just so happy to have been on this program to talk about these things because you know we're in incredible times, yeah. And unfortunately, I think a lot of American Christians are not really spiritually prepared for what's coming.
Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Lewis in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. What Alex Newman's talking about is 100% accurate by God's grace. He did a lot of research, a lot of intelligence was involved in this talk show program, but he's given us information free willingly. I retired out of the federal government Homeland Security February 5th, 2015. I worked with the presidents of the United States many times back in the 80s and 90s and 2000 about the perils that are happening. But Ezekiel says we are the watchmen on the wall.
Yes.
How Alex Newman has did his homework stating that the church has been sleeping.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Lewis. Appreciate the call. We are not going to be able to get any more calls, and we're down to just half a minute here in the program. Alex, what do you want to leave with our listeners today?
Well, thank you so much, first of all, Jim, for having me on the program. It's always such a pleasure, and thank you to all the callers who called in, all the listeners who listened. God bless you all. You know, I just ask that everybody would please be in prayer. These are incredible times. If you're not getting the New American yet, it's, you know, it's a source that you can rely on for accurate and true and vetted information. So, you know, now, if you're not a regular subscriber, if you don't get our daily emails, now would be a good time to think about it. And, you know, pray for our leaders. God tells us to pray for our leaders, that he would give them wisdom, and pray that, you know, people would repent, that the church in America would cry out to God, and, you know, maybe he'll be merciful and allow us to come out of this stronger than before. And thank you once again, Jim, for having me on. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you as well, Alex. And folks, to sign up for those daily emails, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. We need to be understanding of the times, don't we, and understand the issues that are before us. And again, I just echo what Alex is saying, the importance of spending time in prayer. God help me to know what to do. Thank you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.